Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Skincare with Friends.
Hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends. I am one of your hosts, Nia Patton.
I'm the other one, Natalie.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Introduce yourself.
Yeah. My name is Nia Patton and I am a dentist, esthetician, skincare person on the internet. And I'm going to call myself a cosmetic medic is going to be my new name, my new professional term. Cosmetic medic. Does it roll off the tongue?
Cosmetic.
Yeah, okay. No, it doesn't. It's terrible.
Cosmetic.
Oh my god. It works in Welsh.
It does totally work in Welsh. Cosmetic doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to dive straight into our topic of conversation today. It's dark.
I would say behind either one of your most trusted or favourite products, there's probably a little bit of a murky history, especially if where research was involved.
Mm.
I just don't think we were quite prepared
for
this.
For how murky the history is.
Yeah.
You might remember that I was... we were talking about the creation of tretinoin, I think we mentioned his name, and also last episode we did, when we were talking about comedogenicity, we mentioned Kligman, and I was like, Kligman, what a legend. I think I'm... I texted Natalie Kligledge. and then I actually thought, I was thinking, well, I wonder, let's find out a bit more about this man. So I Googled him to see, you know, when he died and where he lived and stuff. And then it said something about controversy about experiments. And then I started to read it and I was appalled and horrified and like really embarrassed now that I said Kligledge.
Yeah, but you know, I used to love Jimmy Savile. You know, you only know what you know.
Yeah, until you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Until you know. So this is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about Albert Kligman, so the man behind tretinoin. And how he discovered tretinoin and what it did, but also how much a prick he was in many myriad ways.
Yes.
It's fair to say.
We're going to try and figure out how it becomes that somebody who devote their life to making human existence better for everyone and then also simultaneously perform monstrous acts of cruelty on his fellow human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we were worried in the podcast about the rabbits. And it didn't occur to us to think about because we mentioned backs of adult males. Didn't think about who were those men.
There's a bit, we'll get to it, about the backs of adult males, where I actually had to stop reading for a bit, because the nail beds, obviously, we'll get there too.
Yeah.
But I couldn't quite sew in the gauze. Anyway, we'll get there.
Yeah. It's so horrible. So, you know, I was thinking, do we need to tell this story? Because I don't want to, like, just use these men's lives as sort of, I don't know, entertainment for people by telling everyone about the awful things that happened.
I think it's really in public interest. Also, the fact that you've said it, nothing comes up in any studies because they're studies.
Yeah, that's not what they're for.
No.
Yeah.
So, I think the more people that know. Not that it's going to, you know, not meant to put you off using tretinoin, obviously. But, you know, Nia and I were talking about this. The godfather of gynecology was an utter bastard. And some of the things he did to human beings were just horrendous.
Yeah.
But obviously, we need smear tests. So
there's an awful there's an awful lot of medical professionals throughout history who've done horrific things.
Yeah,
but they're known for discovering amazing, life changing things, and also have abused probably black people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get to the Tuskegee, Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh,
loads of places.
Christ on a bike.
Yeah.
Horrendous. Anyway, so this is going to be, please just consider that, you know, a 5-minute trigger warning. There's going to be lots of references to suffering. We'll warn again when it gets near each specific case.
Yeah. The suffering of men and children as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which isn't something I like hearing about.
No.
I get very upset. Yes. I think everyone, there's a lot of glossing over of this whole controversy in science in general, downplaying of it. So if you ever see someone downplaying any of this, you'll know that it's, no, don't. That's
including that noted dermatologist who said in his obituary, this is what happens when you get famous. People are always trying to tear you down.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Yeah. It's like, well, it happened a long time ago.
I know.
It didn't happen that long ago.
Unfortunately, when the statute of limitations had passed for the, charging him with those particular crimes. But yeah, definitely not long enough ago, for sure.
No, indeed.
Okay, so who was Albert Kligman?
Yes, so Albert Kligman lived from 1916 to 2010. He died when he was 93 years old, and he was involved in publishing research on dermatology in 2009. He died in 2010.
So he was working right up until the end, pretty much.
He loved it.
Mm.
Yep. So from the office of the Dean of Pennsylvania University, Albert Kligman published more than 1,000 research papers and 20 textbooks and has benefited millions of people. This work includes the initial discovery of the effects of retinoic acid on acne, as well as seminal discoveries in our understanding and treatment of common disorders such as aging skin, seborrheic dermatitis, ringworm and alopecia. However, the committee also determined that while Mr. Kligman's experimental protocols conformed to legal standards of the time, some of his work raised serious ethical concerns.
I love the way they had to just plonk that on the end.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of experimental protocols didn't conform to legal standards at the time. He even said it himself afterwards, didn't he? Some of the shit I was doing was really not legal.
It was bad, but hey.
Also, I think that Pennsylvania University possibly really... That statement didn't age well, did it, for them?
No. You know.
We'll go into that bit later as well.
God, yeah. Yeah, so his research focused on skin conditions like acne, rosacea, dry skin, aging, photo damage. And, you know, he published loads of studies, more than most. And they were all his studies are great reads, like the useful topics that he's testing, like all the comedogenicity things, like, you know, oh, does Vaseline cause acne? Let's find out.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Possibly because he had people to experiment on and he was able to experiment. But yeah, I think he was seen in the community, the dermatology community, as someone who encouraged experimentation and scientific exploration more than was the norm at the time.
So okay.
He was the guy going, let's do an experiment. Hey, guys, we need to find this out.
Yeah.
And everyone was quite excited by him.
Yeah.
So in 1969, he co-created tretinoin.
Mm-hmm.
In 1975, he created something called Kligman's solution, which is a sort of combination treatment of tretinoin, hydroquinone, kojic acid, and a steroid, which is unarguably the most effective treatment for hyperpigmentation to date.
Yeah.
This is why it sounds great. I want some.
So conflicting.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that. Yeah. However, why'd you have to be so bad?
I know. From 1951 to 1974, Dr. Kligman, was involved in carrying out a great number of experiments on the prisoners incarcerated in Holmesburg Prison. And lots of these experiments had nothing to do with skin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they initially included medicated skin creams for treating various ailments like ringworm, herpes and Staphylococcus aureus, and other tests exposed prisoners to biological agents such as dioxin, which is a toxic chemical used in herbicides and an ingredient in Agent Orange, if you've heard of that.
Yes.
And hallucinogenic drugs as part of a federal program, a government program known as Project Often.
Yeah, so Agent Orange was a really a herbicide which the US military used as part of their herbicidal warfare in Vietnam. And I had no idea. So I thought they would use that herbicidal warfare just to basically kill their crops and their livelihood, but it wasn't.
No, it was a cover.
Yes, yeah. So they could see the pathways used by the Viet Cong.
Yeah.
So to recede all the coverage so that they could see the pathways and then obviously target the Viet Cong. And that was called Operation Ranch Hand. Agent Orange is just don't, if you are not, you know, of a strong stomach, don't look at the effects of Agent Orange on the generations of US troops and obviously Vietnamese people as well and their babies, because it is just horrendous.
Did you see Stranger Things?
I haven't seen, I watched up to the second series.
There's a bit in the, I think it's the fourth series where it turns out one of the main characters was in Vietnam and his daughter died of, you know, cancer.
Exposure.
Because of
Well, so they, so British troops, British, American troops were able to sue the US military, but Vietnamese weren't.
No.
Because the American military would then have to own up to war crimes. And obviously that would be far too expensive and illegal. Yeah. So they didn't get any payouts. And I only think it was semi-recently that American troops were even able to go to the VA for treatment for things that were caused by Agent Orange exposure as well. So it is insane. And also, the Project Often, I looked into that. Did you read about it? It's so, so bonkers. You know, like MK Ultra and those experiments, so linked. But this... So, and again, there's no evidence for this. Someone that wrote about Project Often and MKUltra said this. The whole point of Project Often and MKUltra was to test the behavioural effects of certain drugs, which sounds sciencey, but the CIA's chief of technical services said he wanted to explore the world of black magic and harness the forces of darkness that live beneath the human brain. So the guy has just got, he's like full Skeletor from He-Man. He's just,
let's see what we could do with the magic.
Darkness.
Oh my God.
I know.
It's so funny in a way, isn't it? But it's not funny because
it's just
torturing people with LSD.
Yeah, berserk. Anyway.
Yeah. So we'll set the scene of Holmesburg Prison, see who the villains are. Almost everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And who are the heroes? There aren't any heroes. So I've got a picture to show Natalie on my screen of the Holmesburg prison itself, which looks like a giant wheel.
Yeah.
Strange.
A big structure. Really strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess like this. So there's a sort of the thing in the middle of the wheel. Was it an axle? I don't know. What do you call that thing?
Yeah.
Was like sort of a common area.
Okay.
And then the corridors, the spokes of the wheel have got like cells and stuff. And then in between the spokes are like green areas and other small buildings.
So yeah.
A giant, weird building. So Holmesburg Prison was given the nickname the Terror Dome.
Yeah, horrendous.
Yeah. Well, it was a prison in the right in the center of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it operated from 1896 to 1995, so 100 years. And yeah, Holmesburg had a dark history, even without Dr. Kligman arriving at it. And we're not going to go into all of the dark history because we haven't got time. We could be, like, this is going to be long enough. But yeah, the prisoners were not treated with respect or fairness during their time there, even without Mr. Kligman knocking on their door.
Not surprising.
Yeah. So lots of the information of the personal experiences in the experiment and just lots of the information in general for the podcast comes from a book called Acres of Skin.
I mean, that's just horrendous in itself, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah, I would be happy if I don't ever hear those three words put together again. No disrespect to the author. So Alan Hornblum wrote it in 1998. So Hornblum, who wrote this amazing, useful book, he actually worked in the prison as a literary instructor in the 1970s. And he was there when the experiments were going on. He was convinced that the medical research was problematic and there was probably quite a story behind such a large medical research operation in the city jail. And yeah, this is what Alan said about his experience when he was there. So he said, "When I first started working in Philadelphia prison system in 1971, I was stunned to see scores of prisoners strapped and wrapped in gauze pads and adhesive tape. Rather than a knife fight on the cell block or a gang war in the exercise yard, the medical dressing was part of a vast and long-running clinical trial programme. In short, a prominent dermatologist and an Ivy League university had taken over the city jail and turned it into the nation's largest human research program, testing everything from hair dye, athlete's foot medication, to phase one drug trials, dioxin experiments and chemical warfare agents."
Yeah, horrendous. Yeah. And, you know, thanks, Alan Hornblum, because had he not exposed this, who would have, how would we have known, really? No. There was no other whistleblower, right?
No, I don't think so. Not really.
Everyone's complicit. No. He wrote this while Kligman was still very much alive.
Yeah.
So
I'd love to know. Pissed Kligman right off.
Yeah, he carried on working, though.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. I think there were, you know, there were, some of the prisoners had tried to bring legal action in the 80s, and it didn't go very far.
Is that because the statute limitations had passed then on?
Yeah, I think they did get some sort of damages. Yeah. Not much.
One guy led. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right, let me read about him coming to be at the prison then, shall I?
Okay.
So, born on March 17th, 1916 in Philadelphia, and educated in the Philadelphia public school system, Albert M. Kligman, Maniac is the middle name, yeah. I reckon, became a Pi Beta Kappa graduate of Pennsylvania State College in 1939, and by 1947 had acquired both a PhD and an MD from the University of Pennsylvania. Mm. So, you know, done pretty well.
So, yeah, he tried to join the Army and the Navy, but he got rejected because of a pineal idol sinus. Do you know what that is?
I think, did I mark that and look it up?
It's a bum boil.
Oh, it's the one between the butt cheeks. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So it's when you get ingrowing hair at the top of your ass crack.
Yeah.
And that's why you didn't get into the Army.
But I suppose once you have it once, the chances of you have it, yeah. So I do remember as a sidebar, when I worked in a medical insurance company, back when I lived in Guildford, circa 1998, there was, so basically if you were on holiday and we were the number that you called on the back and you'd broken your arm and wanted repatriating for a skiing incident, we had to repatriate someone who'd had that. But in the end, because he couldn't sit, he had to get a helicopter.
Yeah.
So to take him from one place and then an air ambulance, long story short, it cost about at least £20,000 for us to repatriate him. Turns out he wasn't insured anyway.
Oh no.
So his bum boil cost him £20,000.
Shaving.
This is back in the late 90s. That's how I remember. Yeah, because we obviously saw pictures of it.
They can be really bad.
Horrendous.
I had a friend who had one and it was the size of a fist. It was huge.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's horrendous.
Yeah, he said it was like a large tomato. And he couldn't, he was seeing stars, it was so painful.
Oh, my God. Just for an ingrown hair, it's so specific.
Yeah, I know. If you're a sweaty man, you might get one.
I'm not clenching right now.
I know, thank God I haven't got one of those. Yeah. So he came from quite humble surroundings. Apparently his dad was born in Ukraine, was a newspaper distributor, and his mother was a sales clerk from England, and he was educated in the Philadelphia public school system, and he only got into medical school, he got through medical school with the assistance of a local rabbi.
Yes, it's all really weird, isn't
That's
it?
That's a bit odd, isn't
it? It is very
weird. Is that
weird.
How it works?
Apparently not.
And the rabbi took interest in the precocious student, so cool, well done.
I just love one of the quotes that you've done. It is so amazing. So yeah, impressive person to be around by all accounts. Described though as a poor scientist by some observers, which reminds me loads of Dr. Venkman from Ghostbusters.
Oh my god,
I think that's how he was described. Far less affable though, obviously. Yeah. Known to move on too quickly from a study before the work was truly finished, which is kind of a bit of a drawback if that's your job.
Yes.
And Dr. Fred Urbach, this quote is brilliant, Temple University's dermatology department chair for over three decades, says that Clickman was a fascinating person with two speeds, bloody genius or wrong. That's
quite... You're bloody genius, Clickman. But you're wrong.
I love it.
Some of these people are probably characters, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a swig. Hold on.
Go for it. So, Clickman was a prolific author. Mm-hmm. He wrote scores of medical articles on a variety of subjects throughout his career. His earliest works, though, were written in the early 1940s, before he got to medical school even, and he concentrated on writing about mushrooms.
Mm.
Well, that's kind of an obsession,
didn't he?
Yeah.
A mushroom fascination.
So even before he went to uni, he was like, I'm going to write about mushrooms today.
I love mushrooms. Yeah.
I know what he means. Yeah, I get that. This unusual interest stemmed from the fact that Clickman had received his doctorate, in botany, brackets, mycology. So, so he did study fungi. And this interest in fungus is important detail for later on, in a minute when we read out what that led to.
Yes.
So in a study, so this is before he got to Holmesburg, he was studying ringworm, and this is after he graduated as a doctor. So in a study on ringworm, which is also called Tinea capitis, that was published in a leading dermatology journal, Clickman wrote, the data reported in this paper derived from the observations on experimentally infected humans. The work was carried out at a state institution for congenital mental defectives, where ringworm was endemic, and the inmates were subject to constant opportunity for infection. The experimental circumstances were ideal in that a large number of individuals living under confined circumstances could be inoculated at will, and the course of the disease minutely studied from its very onset. Biopsy material was freely available. Mm. So he's talking about a home for disabled children.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so pleased because he's got freely available biopsy material.
Yeah.
But the freely available biopsy material was coming from disabled children's heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he would describe how he encouraged the development of ringworm in this study. He would describe how he could encourage the development of ringworm by rubbing it into the abraded scalp of retarded children. So that's not my words, that's what he wrote in his study.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Clickman would delight an audience of medical students and residents in training by telling them, these kids want attention so bad.
Yeah.
If you hit them over the head with a hammer, they would love you for it.
Oh, fuck yourself.
What a fucking prick.
Oh,
pardon my French.
Yeah. That's where I wrote Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I'm like, welling up reading it out, though I've read it like nine times already.
Really, really, really horrendous.
Those poor little children.
Yep.
It's not nice to get ringworm. Apparently it's really, really unpleasant having ringworm. It itches like mad.
Yeah. Just the way he talks about them.
Yeah.
So, in 1956, Clickman evidently combined children with a learning disability, basically, and prisoners in the same study. So he got a research grant from the Public Health Service of $13,949, as well as National Institutes of Health, to look into the structure of the nail. This is where I really had to take a breather here too.
Mm-hmm.
Clickman listed two classes of subjects, individuals to be found in hospitals and clinics with spontaneous nail disease, and human volunteers, or prisoners, in the Philadelphia County Prison, who, for a modest fee, provide us with ideal opportunities. He planned to take punch biopsies from various portions of the nail folds, the nail matrix, and the nail bed to determine the subsequent effects on growth and recuperation. In addition to removing portions of the nail organ surgically, Jesus Christ, we shall study the effects of applying caustic agents, so silver nitrate, pheno. Dr. Kligman claimed work on fingernails has been almost non-existent. Yeah, because it fucking hurts. Because of the obvious difficulties in obtaining biopsy specimens. But in a preliminary survey, we have convinced ourselves that the nail organ is a hardier structure than previously supposed and will tolerate a good deal of insult without permanent disability. So, and confidently,
then, yeah,
using x-rays and the host of mushrooms that he loved on the test subjects.
X-rays.
Yeah.
He liked to try and cure fungal infections with x-rays.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a thing he did.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, that goes without saying, a really, really, really bad idea.
Really bad idea. We're talking about injuring people's ever so sensitive nail beds. Yeah, and he was just so happy about it. He could.
Yeah.
Freely abuse them.
Yeah, you know, it's not nothing, is it? Having a biopsy taken from your nail, even if it's done with the utmost care, it's going to hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he was doing the study on children and prisoners. Yeah, anyway.
But looking at my notes, I've just written, I feel sick.
Yeah, yeah, I know. So let me juxtapose that horror that we've just read out with an obituary by a British dermatologist called Dr. Shyam Verma from the International Journal of Trichology in 2010. So when he died, she wrote, he got a bad press for the infamous experiments that he conducted in an American prison on inmates, and the press hounded him probably much more than was required. That was the price he paid for being famous. Yeah, the press didn't hound him anywhere near enough.
And it's not the price you pay for being famous either.
No, just the price you pay for being completely insane.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So anyway, back to how he came to be in the prison. Why did he go there?
So the medical research began in the penal system in 1951 when Holmesburg Prison was suffering from another outbreak of athlete's foot, obviously, which was common to a large unsanitary residential facility. So there's 1,200 people or 1,200 prisoners in this prison that have been diagnosed with a fungus infection, and the institution's small beleaguered medical staff was searching for the best treatment possible. The pharmacist in the prison came across an article written by Kligman, one of his many thousand probably published by then. He's a professor at Dermatology of University of Pennsylvania Med School at the time, and he phoned him up and said, "Can you help?
There's loads of athlete's foot in my prison, and you seem to know a thing or two about fungus. Can you come and have a look at my prisoner's feet, please?"
Yeah, so...
Oh dear.
Yes. Dr. Kligman then entered the ageing prison. He was awed by its potential for research. So in 1966, he's quoted as saying in a newspaper interview, "All I saw before me were acres of skin. It was like a farmer seeing a fertile field for the first time." Okay.
Yeah.
So that was a unique opportunity.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
for him, obviously, for unlimited and understood medical research. He described it in this interview as an anthropoid colony, mainly healthy under perfect control conditions. So many of the prisoners for the first time in their lives find
themselves... Yeah, and I wanted to say as well, at this point I've written a little note, it's just like, the word anthropoid means resembling human.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I have no doubt that that's not an accidental use of the term. He absolutely means that.
Oh, yeah, though they resemble humans. This is wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Same with the children.
Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't represent humans to him.
No, he just didn't think of it that way.
No.
He was really pleased to find these people who resembled humans so closely.
Yeah, horrendous. There's some really, a couple of gross Clickman quotes coming up, so buckle up. So, many of the prisoners, for the first time in their lives, find themselves in the role of important human beings. We say to them, you're important, we need you. Once this is established, these guys will knock their brains out to please you. If the experiment doesn't pan out, they get depressed. They become emotionally involved in the project. The capacity to respond to love is greater than most people realise. I feel almost like a scoundrel, like Machiavelli, because of what I can do to them.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel almost like a scoundrel because he knows that he's torturing them.
Almost, though.
Yeah.
It's not almost. Quite a scoundrel.
No.
Still a lovable rogue. And with a love of mushrooms and torture.
Yeah.
As he told colleagues later, I began to go to the prison regularly, although I had no authorization. This is what I mean by them glossing over the legalities. It clearly was, there were a few times where what he did was way less than legal.
Yeah, really under the table. He was just going there. Nobody wanted him to be there.
Yeah. It was years before the authorities knew I was conducting various studies on prisoner volunteers. God, I bet these things came back to bite him in the arse, although not enough.
Mm.
Things were simpler then. He honestly sounds like one of those old men who says, we can't say anything these days.
Yeah, we can't even grope women.
I know, it's only a pinch on the bum. Informed consent was unheard of. No one asked me what I was doing. It was a wonderful time.
He remembers it fondly.
He does. What an absolute douche.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So, you know, you might hope that this complete monster was just a bad apple in the barrel of great scientists and doctors who, if they knew all about what he was doing, would condemn him for such disregard for human kindness. But, you know, at the time... Clickman presented some of his data at the 12th annual meeting for the Society of Investigative Dermatologists in 1951. So this is quite at the beginning of all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Clickman's presentation was met with praise for selecting an ideal test population. And one appreciative reviewer commented, "We have not been alive enough to the wealth of test material that there is in penitentiaries."
Mm-hmm.
And there was zero condemnation among his peers. So, yeah, he told everyone what he was doing at a conference of dermatologists, and they all went, that's brilliant.
Things haven't changed that much. So, obviously, there's no surprise there was zero condemnation in 1951 because people did probably view prisoners as less than human.
Mm.
I know you go to say it somewhere, but was it this prison that was 85%?
Yeah.
Black inmates as well.
Yeah.
So that's not a coincidence as well. I think he, you know, was so happy to be there and viewed, all the inmates as, you know, less than. Because, you know, still in penitentiaries now, don't they? They have them doing things like, wasn't it in the California wildfires where they had them
on
the front line firefighting?
Really?
Yeah. So... I know.
So would they be qualified to do that?
They're not.
No.
So they just, it's okay because, you know, prisoners.
Doing some work that we want them to do.
Yeah. So yeah, not a great shock, just really depressing.
So this is the point where, you know, I was thinking this is what I really want to explore because I feel that we have a duty to hear about all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As skincare people, and you know, lots of us are going to be using tretinoin,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's the decent thing to do to learn about its birth and how it was developed and what people went through to get it to us, because it wasn't easy, you know, for some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kligman is quoted in saying that in the early stages of developing tretinoin, he experimented with very high doses of vitamin A, quotation marks, so high that I damn near killed people before I could see a real benefit. Every one of them got sick.
You know, so it's not just the great author that's just told on Kligman. It's Kligman himself with his stupid bloody quotes. I mean, shut the fuck up. Just be a scientist and be quiet. I mean,
yeah, he says all this stuff out loud.
Tell on himself, didn't he? What an asshole. Yeah, so Kligman was experimenting with, very high doses, sometimes orally. I mean, so once he realised, oh yes, I'll give them these people topical retin A, still using 1%, but just imagine taking oral retin A at such high quantities as well, what that would have done.
Yeah, so, you know, he was kind of, he knew that vitamin A was something that was worth exploring.
Yeah.
Because they'd done different experiments with other anti-acne treatments, mm-hmm. and he was like, vitamin A is very promising because it does something to the way that skin works and the way that keratin builds up. So he was like, right, let's get all different types of vitamin A derivatives, different percentages, and just play around until we find what works.
Okay.
And unfortunately, he was playing around on the faces and backs of human beings in the prison. All of the experiments pretty much in the early days were done at Holmesburg Prison. In his earlier studies, he used 1% vitamin A in comparison with the 0.1% that we're using now. That's the highest percentage we're allowed to use now, is 0.1%.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people start with 0.01, 0.025, 0.05, 0.1. But you don't go any higher than 0.1. And that's because they learned from these prisoners that you can't without really hurting your skin. Right, so we've got a chap called Dr. Chalmers Cornelius, who was also a resident during these years, says some of the occlusion studies resulted in tremendous inflammation and the experiments had to be altered. And he says that it was the inflammation that most attracted Kligman. Despite what many would have considered a cautionary sign, Kligman's response was always the same, push on. He had that type of mentality, push on. So yeah, I mean, this is what we commented. It wouldn't have been created. Tretinoin wouldn't have been discovered if it wasn't for this man's total commitment to experimentation and disregard for people's comfort.
God.
Yeah. A former student of Kligman and a former director of the University of Pennsylvania's acne clinic, Dr. Joseph Witkowski, says that he thought retin A would never sell. It caused such a severe reaction in patients. Their faces became quite red and irritated. But Kligman has the capacity to keep pushing when others won't. He could see the value in retin A as a possible therapy, and time has shown that it has positive results. It's a fantastic drug. He's a genius.
So he wasn't wrong. He was obviously wrong with the dosage, but he was not wrong in terms
of... Yeah, he had the right intuition about it. So, yeah, the vitamin A experiment started sort of early on and carried on alongside the experiments on dioxin and LSD, which we'll get to in the second episode of this, I think, because it gets weirder and darker.
It does.
We're just going to talk about tretinoin for the minute. So 1969, which was really the time that it was agreed that retin A was an acne treatment, Kligman, Plewig and James E. Fulton Jr. studied a paper that reported vitamin A acid is a fairly potent irritant. Although most acne remedies inflame the skin to some degree, the effects of vitamin A acid are rather singular. Within 48 hours, the skin becomes red and scaling. Despite prolonged usage, its irritancy doesn't really diminish. That is to say, there is only slight evidence of hardening. I don't really know what he means by that, but okay. The skin tends to burn and sting for a short time after each application. Injudicious use may lead to flaming red, chapped and swollen face.
Oh my god.
I don't get a chapped, swollen face.
I have had chapped skin, chapped. I would think. But can you imagine just over 10 times the strength needed to treat your ailment?
Yeah.
Being applied to your face.
It would be hard. I remember I remember the first time I got it when I was like 17, cream, retin-A cream.
Okay.
And I used to apply it like a mask. Like, I get it on prescription. Like, I want to get rid of my acne. Let's get a whole handful of this. I put it on really thick. And then, you know, the day after, like 2 days after, I'd be crying in pain and then not use it again.
Oh my god.
Because it was just horrible. But now I know, I understand how to use it.
Yeah.
I was saying, you know, like, I've got such a sort of routine that's built around tretinoin and, you know, putting moisturiser on, letting it soak in, lots of hydration, let that soak in, and then a couple of hours later, apply the tretinoin.
Yes,
and then you put another moisturiser on top.
Yeah.
And, like, these were men in prison with none of that. Yeah. No moisturiser.
And no break.
No.
Just constant.
Whatever the doctor told you to do, you'd have to do, otherwise you didn't get paid.
Yeah. And it just gets worse about that as well. I know. So we'll get on to that as well. But, you know,
the whole stuff about being paid.
Yeah, horrendous.
It's so sad.
It is.
So, yeah, daily application has to be regulated in accordance with individual susceptibility. So the aim is to apply that quantity, which will maintain moderate redness and peeling, discomfiture, which means discomfort, around the mouth and the angles of the nose is particularly disagreeable if the medication is carelessly applied.
Oh, we know that.
Even with excessive use, the skin recovers within a few days after stopping treatment. Deeply motivated subjects should not be dissuaded from increasing the frequency of application for patients with the most irritated faces achieve the most rapid improvement, which I thought was quite interesting.
Stop it.
So, like, if you've got really bad irritation, you're going to get more benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay.
Like, carry on. Just keep carrying on.
Keep going. You're going to get through. There. Yeah.
Push through your red, swollen, chapped face.
Yes. So, we got to the point where it's the early 1970s. Retin-A is proven to be an acne treatment. It's FDA approved. But Kligman also held the possibility in his mind that it had anti-aging applications.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very keen to explore that because he wanted to make lots of money. Because, you know, that's where the dollars are, isn't it? Anti-aging stuff. So he wasn't allowed to carry on his experiments on prisoners anymore. So in the early 70s, so it's 1974, the prison experiments had to stop. And he had to continue his trials using mice.
Did they stop in 1974 because of that, the convention, or that the law?
Yeah, they had to stop, I think the prison, there's a section I've written about it, so we'll probably get on to that next episode.
Okay.
But, he was told to stop. He was made to stop by various bodies.
Right, great. Yeah. Bit late, but, okay.
So so Kligman wanted to find out about the wrinkles. So he chose a species of mice called a rhino mice. So I will upload all of this onto our website so you can see a rhino mouse, or you can just Google rhino mouse because they are kind of cute. So this unusual species of mouse developed rows of wrinkles from nose to rump shortly after birth. The authors believe that the wrinkle canals were filled with the same horny substance that formed pimples in humans. So in their experiment, the mice received applications of Retin-A.
Oh my
twice
God.
A day.
They must have been in so much pain.
Yeah. For 6 weeks, while a control group received none. Oh, the results were incredible.
They're practically free of wrinkles.
Yeah.
But they're just lying there going, I feel it.
I'm in so much pain. But I'm so smooth.
I'm so smooth. Like a But I heard him.
Yep.
Oh, bless.
So the lines from the rhino mice were gone, and the control group was still covered in wrinkles.
Yeah.
And Kligman said in his conclusion, the outstanding finding was the capacity of retinoic acid to restore the bizarre architecture of the rhino mouse skin to a nearly normal appearance. The treated skin became as smooth as the hairless mouse. The redundant folds and wrinkles were totally effaced.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So he was confident that yes, retin-A was the thing, and he was going to make it happen.
Brilliant. So what happens next?
Mm-hmm. So what ensured were years of ugly tactics from Dr. K to get retin-A known to the public so he could make cash fast. He didn't care about FDA approval. He didn't care about doing things properly through the right channels. He wanted the public to know about this anti-aging miracle.
Uh-huh.
So that basically, because it was already out as an anti-acne treatment.
Right.
And he wanted people to start trying to get hold of it as an anti-aging thing secretly, which is kind of what happens now, isn't it?
Right.
So he teamed up with a company called Ortho, which is a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, those evil bastards.
Yep. Very evil. And he spent years paying doctors to promote the drug at various conferences. I've really summarised this. It's all, there was loads of other things that happened. Lots of ins and outs and ne'er-do-welling. So he used dermatologists to try and get the word out at conferences. So he was paying dermatologists money, saying, right, go to La 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 conference in, I don't know, Idaho, and talk about how amazing retin-A is and curing wrinkles. In 1986, Ortho conducted an educational campaign that included a consumer media tour televising prominent dermatologists. Physicians were part of Ortho's stable of company-friendly medical show horses. I like that. Each of whom received £1,000 stipend to visit local television stations and discuss the damaging effects of the sun, precancerous lesions, and the benefits of retin-A. And this is all before the FDA had given approval for retin-A as an anti-aging drug. It's already got approval for acne, but the new drug application for the wrinkles was going to take way too long, and they wanted their money now. Yeah. So it was all taking too long. So he got into trouble. Old Kligman got into trouble from the University of Pennsylvania. So yeah, this is a highly condensed little guide to what
I know, but it's thrilling. Yeah. It's gripping.
It is quite gripping. He got into trouble from the university. So this is his alma mater, don't they call it?
Yes.
Yeah. So his university, where he'd been working for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Because he was profiting from a drug that had been developed using the university's resources, and he wasn't paying them their share. He'd applied for the patent for retin-A as an anti-aging treatment under the trade name Renova, under his own name, so didn't mention the university. So I think retin-A had university
as the acne treatment, though.
Yeah,
right? To apply for it under a different brand name, under his name, but nicking the intellectual property.
Because the patent for retin-A was going to expire.
Yeah.
So he was just changing the brand name of the same thing and leaving the university out.
He's a right sod, isn't he?
He's a sod. He was going to be profitable because he was the only person on that patent.
Okay.
And so when he sold all this retin-A under Renova, then he was going to make a lot of money. So by 1991, the heat was coming not only from the university and the FDA, because it wasn't approved, and also from the government, who were pursuing criminal proceedings. Yes. So Ortho, the brand we mentioned, the subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, responded by destroying all of the documents relating to the drug. And in 1992, the legal battle between Kligman and the university ended with an out-of-court settlement. And one source I read said he had to pay millions of dollars. couldn't find out much more about it.
Okay.
But yeah, this is what Kligman had to say about the matter. I didn't know Retin-A was going to yield all this wealth.
Love it.
I'm delighted because it's my way of paying back this university that trained me, educated me, gave me a chance to grow and didn't hold me back.
I love the way he says it as if it was his idea to just pay the university millions.
Not I know. He was battled through the courts for years. Like he was forced to give them millions and he's like pretending that he's pleased.
I know. Like, it's like my little donation.
Yeah, here's my donation to the university. It's fine, here you are. And didn't hold me back. That's what I love.
I know.
It didn't stop you from performing really unpleasant experiments on innocent people.
Mad.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to stop this madness here because
can't wait for the next part. I would say we've already covered the gruesome bit. Would we really
No, have we haven't at all. It really gets much worse.
It gets a lot worse.
Yeah, that was the nice bit. That was the easy to stomach part of the podcast.
So hold on to your hats for part two. But it does. We've given you a flavour of what's to come. I mean, I think we've highlighted the man pretty well.
I think you understand his vibe and
you know, understand how we got Tretinoin. That's the point, isn't it? Really.
It is like, you know, it's a horrible cream that irritates your skin a lot. And it took a psychopath to fully experiment on it.
Yes.
In that way.
Yeah.
Without his psychopathic, sadistic tendencies, we wouldn't be as young looking as we are.
Right.
It's not worth it, to be honest.
No. No.
It's not.
No.
If I could go back in time and change it.
Yeah.
And make Mr. Kligman just study mushrooms in a field.
Yeah.
If he didn't get into medical school.
Yeah.
I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we do discuss it further down the lines in the next episode, but, you know, he does get a bit bonkers. And I think it was a source that said some of his experiments had absolutely no scientific... It was just for fun.
Yeah.
Definitely just for fun.
He wasn't a great scientist.
Yeah.
No. And, you know, he's lauded as an amazing scientist, you know, one of the best.
Yeah,
and
but he's a bad Venkman, that's what he is.
Yeah, didn't have good scientific methods.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because the people in the studies were human beings.
Paid for that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very sad.
So I hope you found that as interesting as we did.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to saying goodbye to this man and never thinking about him again. Yeah. Yeah, I don't like him.
No.
No. No. I don't like what he represents.
No. So, yeah, part two coming soon, I think.
Yep.
Right.
Do we have any lighter news that we can lighten the mood?
We should have really done that anyway. Oh my god, when I'm on the spot, I can't think of anything light now.
No, I know.
I've got a shit week at work coming up. It's really busy.
Oh, mate.
And it's getting dark in October-y.
Yeah, I'm loving my my red light mask.
I will say that.
I'm really enjoying that. I think it works. I'm sure it works. I think it's working.
Wow. How much was it?
It's like nearly 300 quid.
Is it?
200 something. Yep. But, yeah, look at my Instagram for before and after pictures.
Okay.
Because I think it did something.
What do you think it does?
I think it seems my skin feels brighter and smoother.
Oh, lush.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Was it Katia?
Katia agrees. my skin feels shit lately.
Oh, no.
Just feels... You know when you've put tretinoin on an area that you shouldn't and you get the scaliness? So I have that around like mouth and chin.
I found something really good for that.
Oh, what?
Eucerin 10% urea.
Oh, great. Yeah, okay.
I think it's called urea repair.
Oh, okay.
And
because I always do a 10% urea.
Yeah, I think they do. Maybe that's good. I haven't tried that though.
Okay, we'll try it. They've got a cleanser out too now.
Oh, have they? Yeah, oh, cool. Cleanser, I love that.
Okay, thank you. I will do
that. Yeah, but
I've just got blemishes. And then the scars from the blemishes stay for weeks.
Yeah.
Really annoying.
That's bloody annoying.
Yeah. I had a Craig, so Nia has a Craig. When was the last time you saw him?
Last week.
Okay.
So Craig is a giant spot on my chin. It's not the same one. I'm not like, I don't have the same spot for like years and years and years. It's a different one, pretty much in the same place though.
Yeah, but yeah. I've had a sympathy big chin break. Spot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mate.
I know. And he really hurt.
Yeah.
Just so, and I didn't touch him. I was very good about not.
I don't know how to do that. I can't do it.
It was really hard. It was really, really difficult, especially as he really sort of came into his own.
Oh.
His last Friday night when I was going out.
Yeah.
And you know, when you point where you even touch an area an inch away from him.
You're like,
yes. Yeah. So, but apart from that, yeah, fine.
Cool.
I've got no good news to report. That's about it. You love your light mask.
Yeah, I love my light mask. I love my urea repair.
Okay.
How's your website going?
Really good, but I'm doing boring things like shipping policy.
Oh, yeah.
And refunds.
Natalie's like started a new shopping website for sunscreens, mainly?
It's mainly sunscreens. But I want it to be sunscreens from everywhere. But right now it's just Korean and Japanese ones. But I would like to sell altruist sunscreen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so launching just in time for winter when nobody normal thinks about buying sunscreen.
We'll buy it.
I know you will, so thank you, and listeners will. Actually, I had a few customers already, which is lovely.
Can you sell Skincare with Friends merch on your website?
Of course I can. I can't. There's a whole Skincare with Friends tab coming up.
Oh my God.
So there's a podcast link to the latest podcast.
We need ideas for t-shirts. My God.
I think a tote bag is my
favorite. I love a tote bag.
Me too. Yeah. So definitely a tote bag. But yeah, of course, there'll be Skincare with Friends merch.
Skincare with Friends, visors.
Actually, ideas, skincare pals. What skincare related merch do you think would be really good? Because it's quite easy to get your own branded, say, like muslin cloths, for example.
Yeah.
With a little sort of tag
on. Something like that. Yeah.
So something along those lines. Have a think. Or like, you know, reusable rounds for cleansing. That would be a really good
That'd
idea
be nice.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything like that. Let me have your ideas. I bloody love merch. But yeah, I just think now we need to be telling people, like, so I did the Cardiff Half Marathon the other day, and I think it was a really bright sunny day. Mm. And I was talking to the guy next to me who I knew, and he was laughing because I had like a little utility belt
with
things in it, and obviously I had like my Aldi mini sunscreen in there. He's like, sunscreen today? And I was like, yes, Paul, today and every day.
Yes.
But, you know, all the free things and merch they're giving out of these, there really should be visibility from brands, I think, like an altruist type thing where you are giving away very small samples of sunscreen.
Because runners
are shit.
Their skin
is terrible.
Bad. They look sun damaged. Quite often.
Runners look really sun damaged. Mm-hmm. And because my mum was having this argument with me the other day. She hates runners for some reason.
What?
A lot of people do.
Oh.
It's like male cyclists. They just get a really bad rap. I don't know why. Like, I hate male
That's
cyclists
funny.
And runners. They're just not
popular like people. Car drivers don't
car
mind.
Car drivers, just people. Just
we're not in anyone's way.
No.
They're annoyed at us because they're jealous.
We just look so happy.
Yeah.
But my mum
just
like,
it's stupid.
Well, what's his face runs and he looks really old. I'm like, Mum, he looks really old because he hasn't touched sunscreen ever.
He's always outside.
He's always outside and he hasn't touched sunscreen. But there were a lot of people that I wanted to assault with some spray.
People love that when you forcibly apply a cream to their face.
Yeah, can you imagine? As they're crossing the finish line or the start line.
Chemical sunscreen in my eyes.
No. So we definitely need to be doing some education around that. But yeah. Really does. Even in running shops, why aren't you selling things? You sell literally everything, like chafing gel and whatever else, but there's no
sunscreen.
Sun protection.
No, it's not a big thing.
No, it's really not. So we need to push it.
Yeah.
So yeah. But that's, you know.
That's interesting.
It is.
So, yes, come and find us on our socials. So Skincare with Friends on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook.
And we're just everywhere.
Nia Patton, Natalie SWF.
I think so.
Yeah, she never remembers. I don't either.
No.
And yeah, another thing that I came across when I was researching is a page, a Facebook page by the daughter of one of the prisoners.
Yes,
a chap called Leodis Jones.
Yeah.
And we'll put a link to that because I think within that page there is a link to a GoFundMe.
Okay.
So one of the prisoners who's infirm and old now is having health problems and he needs help with.
Okay. Bills. Hold on. Is he out of prison?
He's out of prison, oh, yeah. Thank God. He's okay. At home and right. He's ill and okay. Old now. And
right.
These men are having to foot the bill for their own health care.
Yeah.
Even though they were harmed by a university, which isn't very right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But it is criminal, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Let's so face bad. It.
Yeah.
But we get into that bit later. So, you know, if injustice really makes you angry, then I would proceed with caution.
Yeah.
Maybe the next one.
Get angry with us because we're going to be angry.
Exactly. As long as you turn it into action, perhaps, then
Yeah.
Great.
So, join us next time to get angry with Skincare with Friends.
Oh, bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.